we're going to finish up, well, I hope to, the study on Cornelius. And like I said yesterday, I've gathered a little more information and hope it's clearer. It is so important that we understand that Cornelius wasn't part of the body of Christ. People that think he was either don't understand what a gospel is, and we'll get into a little bit of that, but we covered that a few days, well, I guess it was a couple weeks ago, but it's still on the recent lessons page. Either that or they don't realize that after Israel is part of the transition. I like to use biblical words. I try to anyway. A transition is called a dispensation of the gospel in the Bible, as I understand it. And it's also called a work in Acts 14:13-41, as well as Habakkuk 1:5. But they don't understand that after Israel fell in Acts 7, there was a diminishing going on. They continued to diminish, and you go until you get to Acts 15 before they actually stop preaching there. Peter pledged there. It's told about in Galatians 2:9. We can look at that verse. Galatians 2:9 tells that Peter, James, and John, and those that seem to be of repute, pledged to go only to the circumcision. Those true believers that were part of the little flock already, they stopped evangelizing, stopped preaching the kingdom gospel. And Peter had the right to do that. He had the keys of the kingdom. Not the kings, the keys of the body of Christ, but the keys of the kingdom. So, let's read a couple preview verses. I'm going to go back a couple before the verse list, actually. Acts 10:34-35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." So, as we had said yesterday, working righteousness for acceptance with God is Israel's doctrine, not that of the body of Christ. It's nothing, so far we've seen nothing that has to do with the body of Christ in this instant, in this event. And although Israel had fallen already by this time, by Acts 10, they fell in Acts 7. Now, again, you can't just go by the chapter verse, the chapter numbers. Because some of these chapters are writing about things that happened in relatively close timing, but in different places, and Luke had to write about them both, so he, you know, chose one to go first, or was inspired to put one first. But they were roughly simultaneous, almost simultaneous. Some of them had to follow others, and for instance, Paul's conversion in Acts 9 had to follow the fall of Israel, not be simultaneous. So, but although they had fallen, Israel had fallen in Acts 7, Israel's program or Israel's covenants was not yet fully shut down. Israel was in a diminishing process from Acts 7 when they fell to Acts 28 when the Lord inspires Paul to read that Isaiah 6 curse to Israel. And that's all she wrote. There's no more, Luke didn't write any more about it, about the Acts of the Apostles. Paul continues preaching the gospel of, it's the gospel of the grace of God that is to all people, including to us. Paul's program, the body of Christ, was already in operation by the time of that Acts 15 meeting, when Israel shut down their evangelism. They're going into all the world to preach the gospel. So for a brief time then, both programs were in operation at the same time, for that brief time. Not now today, no. You can't believe Israel's gospel. The covenants and the promises, the prophets' teachings. You can't believe the gospel of the kingdom and be saved today. If that's all you're believing in. If someone believes Paul's gospel, they are saved. And if they go astray and start believing the gospel of the kingdom, they're not then damned. They're still saved from having believed the correct gospel, Paul's gospel. But they're going to live in confusion. They're not going to understand because they've gone into other teachings from other teachers in about other gospels that were valid at one time, but Israel fell in Acts 7. So the gospel that a person heard and believed, that's what determined which program they were in during that brief period and which benefits they received. Whether they received remission of sins until the Lord returns to blot out Israel's sins, that's part of Israel's doctrine. Or whether they heard and believed Paul's gospel and their sins were forgiven instantly upon belief. There's a difference. But they were both going on at the same time for a while there. A gospel involves news of how to acquire or to receive, maybe we should say, how to receive the promised remedy or a salvation, how to receive the promised salvation for a specific need that's named in the gospel. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. We have a need. God has the remedy. How do we acquire it? That's what the gospel tells. But part of that gospel is the promise. And those that believed Israel's gospel were promised the inheritance promised to the fathers, their fathers, Israel's fathers, that being the land and blessings from God. So that's different. They're not promised heaven. They're promised the land and a glorious kingdom, yes. We're promised heaven in heavenly places. So it depends on which gospel you had believed at that time before they were, during that time when there were two gospels being preached at the same time, gospels of salvation. Welcome to the room. Glad to see you. So the promises to believers in Israel's kingdom program were different from the promises of life to believers in Paul's program, the body of Christ. Whether they believed Paul's gospel during a brief dispensation of the gospel of Christ or during the dispensation of the grace of God still operating today. The Acts 10 Cornelius event is quite likely Israel's last event before becoming not my people. In other words, let me get back to that. It shows the way things would have been if there had not been that break in Israel's history during which we're in now, that God institute or set up the pattern of salvation by grace through faith. Being saved, not being looking for salvation or trying to endure to the end to be saved like Israel. So if Israel hadn't lost their favor with God, that's what, that's the last, probably the last thing, as far as I can tell, the last event, if there's a change in the priesthood, there has to be a change in the law. And part of the change would have been that what had been considered unclean is now clean to Israel. As you go in, after the rapture, in other words, after the catching up, things will revert back, the kingdom gospel will be preached. But there's going to be a change from the way things were back then, before Acts 7, because of the fact that what God has cleansed, let no man call unclean. The Gentiles are going to be able to take part in some way, apparently. That's a difference, you know. That's what God had set up there in Acts 10, just during that diminishing period. But when there's no more diminishing, when there's no more body of Christ on earth, it reverts back to the way it was there in Acts 10. So, it shows the way things will be in the resumption of Israel's history after the catching up of the body of Christ. Another step in Israel's diminishing was in Acts 15. And, you know, when Peter talks about the Cornelius encounter that he had with Cornelius. We'll get into that in a few minutes in the Acts 15. Basically, Cornelius and talk about him appears in Acts 10, Acts 11, explaining it, and then in Acts 15 where he explains it to the apostles. Let's go to that verse there in Galatians 2:9. I think I've got a poster here. Let me see if I can find it and post that. Galatians 2:9 we're looking for here. Hold on. There we go. All right. And when James, Cephas, in other words, Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, that's Paul speaking, they gave to me and to Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go to the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So that didn't limit Paul, and he was going to the heathen already. He was going to, well, it doesn't say all the heathen, does it? Some people would like it to say that, and they imply that it says it, but it says the heathen. That group that's not Israel, the nations, okay, and they would go to the circumcision, that group that is the true believers, according to Romans 2:25 in Israel's doctrine. So they under the circumcision is an important statement there that happened in Acts 15, and it stopped there being two gospels being preached at the same time. The only gospel from then on was the gospel of that Paul preached, the gospel that Christ died for your sins, believe on him to life everlasting. So, hold on a minute. Let me just scroll back here. I'm trying to get this link. If someone can post these verses, that sure would be a help. But otherwise, we'll just go ahead and read them, and you don't get to see them then. that Acts 15 agreement told about that we just read there in Galatians 2:9 could well have been Peter's use of the keys of the kingdom. And Israel and their program must have already ended by the time of Peter's Acts 15 agreement that Paul told about, that we just read there. And as you read Acts 6 through Acts 11, it becomes evident that the three major events in those chapters all occurred in rapid sequence, very nearly simultaneous. And toward the end of, or at the end of Acts 11, those last three verses, Acts 11, 27 to 30, we don't have to go there, but that was the first of 10 different times that God had Paul get the body of Christ churches to give to feed the poor saints in Jerusalem. 10 times that happened. He told churches that they needed to give to the Jerusalem saints that had sold all, and then the kingdom didn't come in. They had nothing. God was preserving them, those that were faithful in Israel's program. And he did it through the body of Christ. And the first time is there in Acts 11, verses 27 to 30. And I've got a list of them. Let me see if it'll post. I don't want to take the time to read all of them, but let me just post these verses here. Oops, I don't see it. There it is. Whoops, didn't like it for some reason. Let me see if it's that at the end of the first line. Hold on. No, it's not. Oh, well, let's see, maybe. No, it's still not going to post. Sorry about that. But that means that Israel's program must have already ceased its progress through Daniel's 70th week of prophecy. The 70th week, gone into the, what would it be, the 484th year. You know, there is a point when that is no longer. I mean, Peter said that this is that which Joel prophesied. So we know that the 70th week had started, but at some point there it changed from being the 484th week, 484th year, to being the acceptable year of the Lord when they rejected their Messiah. For the final time, and they blasphemed the Holy Ghost, stoning Stephen, speaking the Holy Ghost's words to them. So, but when we, you know, bring to memory again this this first time that Paul introduced the idea of the body of Christ taking care of those poor saints in Jerusalem. Just before Agabus's prophecy in Syrian Antioch, there, just north of Israel, the Acts 10 through 11 Cornelius event is the most likely candidate for being the change from Israel's 70th week to being Israel's acceptable year of the Lord. It was almost the same time as Acts 7. In fact, that's one of the events that could have been simultaneous, as in my understanding. We know that Acts 7 and Acts 9 are not simultaneous, but they're almost, it could have been less than a day between them, if you read Acts 9 verse 1. So, Israel's acceptable year of the Lord had ended, and Israel's history had stopped occurring until the fullness of the Gentiles become into the body of Christ that the Holy Spirit is baptizing believers into today. Let's get into some of these verses now, the actual verses, and take note of how many times we see Israel and Israel's doctrine and talking about Israel's promises, and you do not see one time that there's any talk about the body of Christ. You know, if he was put in the body of Christ after all this talk about Israel, somebody's fooling us. Look at Acts 10:36, and we'll go through 10:41, 43. Well, we're going to go through more than that, but for now, Acts 10:36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, his Lord of all. Verse 37. That word, I say, we know, which was published throughout all Judea. Judea, you know, the earthly ministry of Jesus. And began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How specific can he be? I mean, he's identifying this message that Cornelius heard as being very specifically the Lord's earthly ministry to Israel. Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Well, the healing has to do with making the cleansing the kingdom of priests, setting them apart making it a holy nation, they couldn't have any flat nose or anything, you know. had to be healed. And so the Lord came healing. Verse 39, and we are witnesses. Well, we can read there, and, you know, you can look it up. It's, Luke 24:47, I think it is, or 48, where they're made to be witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it says, we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Verse 40, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. So is there any doubt that Peter's talking about the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ? He's not talking about the heavenly ministry that the Lord started when he saved Paul in Acts 9. No, it's not about the body of Christ. Acts 10:42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people, that's Israel, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. Verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth on him shall receive remission of sins. Not forgiveness, remission. And, you know, the difference, just like whether it's singular or plural, there's a difference in whether it's remission or forgiveness. It has to do with time, past tense or present tense or future tense. Remission is future tense. Forgiveness is present tense. The body of Christ gets forgiveness. Israel only gets remission until the return of Christ to blot out Israel's sins. Let's go on. Acts 10:44. Let me just get a sip. Hold on. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost unto the Gentiles. It surprised them. They hadn't been talking about Gentiles. I mean, they'd been talking about Israel all through here, and now the Holy Ghost is poured out on... Who poured them out? Who poured out the Holy Ghost? It's different for Israel. Let me see if I can find that verse. Different for Israel than it is for us. Look at Acts 2. Yeah. 2:33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. So the Lord Jesus Christ pours out the Holy Spirit on Israel's believers. When we're saved, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Christ. It's a reverse thing. It's a different baptizer. It's not Christ baptizing people with the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost baptizing believers into the body of Christ. Here, what we see is, as verse 44, as Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they, you know, they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. What did they believe? Well, they believed what they knew, what they'd heard, the gospel of the kingdom. And they would, you know, after Israel fell, it would have not been an immediate kingdom. It would have been the gospel of the circumcision. But the kingdom was still out there and coming, and they could believe on the kingdom coming and Jesus being the Messiah that would rule the world. Until Acts 15, that was a valid gospel. After that, they didn't preach it anymore. But there were still believers in it. You get to Acts 20, and there, I think it's Acts 20, verse 21 or so. There are many thousands of Jews still believing, probably not as many thousands as you know, in chapter 6 or so. But there were still many thousands that believed and were zealous of the law, it says. And Titus 1:10 says that even after the end of Acts, there was still a group called the circumcision. Nothing good talked about them, but they're there still. And they were attritioning away, if that's a word. Let's go to verse 46. And for they heard them speak with tongues the mighty and magnify God. Excuse me. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? As well as we. You see what that means? That means Peter is saying that these that were baptized, that received the Holy Ghost there at Cornelius' house, were in the same condition, having received the Holy Ghost, as the 12 there in Acts 2, and as the whole little flock in Acts 4:31. They're the same. It's Israel. It's not the body of Christ. Israel's manifestations were upon Cornelius and his friends. This has nothing to do with the body of Christ. So don't let some teacher tell you that, well, the body of Christ had started then, that means that whatever he got saved into had to be the body of Christ. No. There were two gospels going on at that time, and a person is only saved into what they believe the provisions for, the stipulations. You know, they believe the gospel of the grace of God. They believe that it's only by God's grace and not by anything that I might do, except believe that God did it all on the cross, dying for my sins. That's the stipulation. The benefit of that gospel is salvation, receiving salvation and immediate forgiveness. So, you know, we have the need, and God supplies the salvation upon our belief. Belief is the stipulation, is the requirement. We need to receive it. So, let's go on with the verses. Acts 10:48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. The name signifies his identity, who he is, who we're talking about. You remember there was a Jesus, I forget where he was. He was, wasn't he one of the ones that was sent back with Paul and Barnabas back to Antioch? His name was Jesus. He was also called Justice, I think. I always call him Justice just to keep it clear. But, you know, the name of the Lord, that Jesus was the Lord, in other words. That what we're talking about is the gospel of God, defined in Romans 1, 1 through 4, or verses 3 and 4, actually. That he is the Son of God, that Jesus is the prophesied Messiah from the Old Testament, prophesied in the Old Testament, and that he rose from the dead. Those three facts. They identify who Jesus is. Israel would not believe that Jesus was the Son of God, sent to, you know, to be their Messiah or their King. They didn't believe that. They needed the faith. That's what Paul talks about in Romans 9, 30 and 30 through 33. It's what he talks about in Romans 10, 8. He identifies that it was faith that they fell short of. The faith to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. So that concludes the 10th chapter. Let's look at, starting in the 11th, we got pretty much still to go here. 11th chapter is Peter explaining to the 12 this whole incident that we went through. And some of the facts are the same. Some are abbreviated. None of the facts are in conflict. I didn't mean to imply that. But, well, let's go through it. Acts 11:1. And we'll go down through 15, 16 at least. Starting with verse 1, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles, remember what we said yesterday, that's that group had, it had been open to, but it doesn't say that all of them. It doesn't, you know, people imply, they read that and they imply that all the Gentiles were being preached the gospel of salvation at that point by Paul. It just means, just like we went through Acts 13, when it talks about the Gentiles in verses 42 and 46 and 48, it tells you who the Gentiles are in verse 26 that it's talking about, the ones that heard him preach and responded. Their response is there in those verses 42, 46, and 48. They were glad. They wanted to hear more. But it's not talking about Gentiles in Africa, Gentiles in America, Gentiles. It's just talking about those that were in the synagogue, those who feared God. That's devout Gentiles, whether you call them Greeks or not. There was a brief period of time that they were called Greeks. My understanding of Cornelius, I would think that God would choose not to call him a Greek, because that's the beginning of something that's going to start as soon as the rapture, the catching up of the body of Christ occurs, and Israel is back to having to believe the gospel of the kingdom. That has to do with Gentiles then, that it's not just after the Greek Empire at that point where Greeks would be people seeking the wisdom and knowledge, specifically regarding Paul's handling of it, the wisdom and knowledge of God. So that's why I think that he wasn't called a Greek, even though he's got the same description. Starting again, verse 1, "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that Gentiles had also received the word of God." Also there. In other words, like them, like Israel, not like the body of Christ. "And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised, and didst eat with them." But Peter, you know, if you're following this as we go along, there's probably, 20 or 30 instances already that it identifies Israel as being the group that Cornelius is believing the doctrine of, the doctrine and the gospel. So, thou didst eat with them. You know, it wasn't any problem for Gentiles to eat pork or to eat anything, you know, but it was for a Jew. We read yesterday in Leviticus 20:25 that they would make their souls abominable to God if they ate unclean things. So going on, verse 4, "But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying," so we should have a menu kind of a thing, you know, an orderly, what happened first, a sequence of events here, and as we go through Peter's description of it. Verse 5, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me." Verse 6, "Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered my mouth." I've got a testimony to maintain. Verse 9, "But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me." So it said earlier there was some interest there at Joppa, and some of them from Joppa went with him. Well, here it gives us that it was six people. Plus there were three that came from Cornelius, plus there was Peter, so that's 10 people going back in this caravan or whatever. Not a Dodge caravan, but a group going back. Verse 12, and the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house. Well, there's another Israel pointer to Israel. Angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to those who are to receive salvation. Believers today, and believers back then even, in Paul's gospel, received their salvation immediately. They didn't have to wait to receive it. Israel is waiting to receive their salvation at the second coming of Christ, when their sins are blotted out. And they waited, endured to the end. So, he had seen an angel in his house, and stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words, whereby thou and all thy house shall be, future tense there, shall be in the future saved. Now, again, tell thee words. Remember yesterday we went through all those five or six different places that Peter apparently was supposed to know what to say, and yet he kept saying, why have you sent for me? What do you want to hear? You know? But it says, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved, shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Again, that's Israel's baptism, not ours. As on us at the beginning. And that confirms it there. He's saying it was like the Acts 2 baptism of Israel, Acts 2 and Acts 4 baptism of Israel, not our baptism in 1 Corinthians 12. And by the way, Ephesians 4, 4 and 5 says there is one baptism today. That was written later. Ephesians 4, 4 and 5, written later after the end of Acts, says there is only one baptism. And it's not the baptism of getting wet, it's the baptism of one Spirit baptizing us into the body of Christ. Israel's manifestations were upon Cornelius and his friends. And, you know, you can see that those are Israel's manifestations. They don't have anything to do with the body of Christ. Acts 11:16. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. No, that's us that's baptized by the Holy Spirit into one body. But it says, let me read it right. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And Jesus Christ is the one that shed forth the Holy Ghost on them. Look at Acts 1 verse 5, just for clarification. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So that shedding forth of the Holy Ghost, when it says the Holy Ghost fell on them, that's the baptism with the Holy Ghost that they would be baptized with, according to Acts 1 verse 5. Now let's go on in the Acts 11 series that we're going through here, series of verses. Verse 17, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, Israelites, do you see how that pins it right there, as Cornelius and their group were in the same group as Peter. And that's not the body of Christ. Peter is going to sit on thrones in the kingdom on earth with Jesus Christ as the king, the Messiah. And we'll be in heaven then. But it, let me get through the verse. For as much as then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I should withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And that's why I think it's important to realize that this, just before their final casting away in blindness, this is instituted into Israel's doctrine that's going to start happening after the body of Christ is caught up. And Israel's history begins to transpire again. Their prophecies begin to occur. The 70th week of Daniel, they'll already be into it. The first day when, I don't know when the first day will be, but when you get to the first verse in Revelation 1:1, the body of Christ is already in heaven, according to 2 Thessalonians 1:6 or 7, I forget which it is, and Israel 6 and 7, for 2 Thessalonians 1:6 and 7. Israel will be under this new provision in their doctrine that includes the Gentiles, more so than when Jesus walked the earth, or even before the Lord said, go not unto the Gentiles, you know, because Ruth was a Gentile and she was able to come in. So you know, Rahab blessed Israel and got the blessing at that time for doing so. The mixed multitude that came out with Moses, came out of Egypt, they got Israel's blessings as they believed and followed Israel's doctrine. So notice the statement there, though. God, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Not just to Jews, in other words. Not just to Israel. Repentance unto life. Before it had been, shall be saved, future tense also. But this looks very much like the unction, the anointing that 1 John talks about for during the tribulation. Peter and the Cornelius event there in Acts 10 might well be God setting up the last instructions in the Bible for the tribulation saints after the catching up of the body of Christ. Then Peter stops talking and Paul reports about his ministry among the Gentiles, and the Greeks fill that qualification of being the Gentiles. It's not all the Gentiles. There are Gentiles that are not Greeks, that are not devout Gentiles. You know, 1 Corinthians 1, I think it's verse 23 or 24, says that the preaching of the cross is to the Greeks foolishness. It's not wisdom that they're looking for, it's foolishness. Those are not the devout Greeks. Those are the Greeks that sought wisdom and knowledge, but not the wisdom and knowledge of God. So that's one of the types of Greeks that are mentioned in the Bible. There's three types in that series of verses there in 1 Corinthians 1. Let's go on. Now we're going to look at, briefly before we close, at the Acts 15 coverage of the Cornelius event. Acts 15, verse 12. I see it on the screen there. Thanks for posting that, Linda, and for these verses. It's 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. Well, it's not foolish to the Greeks like Timothy, like Timothy's father anyway. You know, to the Greeks that believed, that whole group of Jews, Greeks there that believed in Acts 14:1 and, you know, 1 through 5 or so, it wasn't foolishness to them. So this is a different kind of Greek that it's talking about. It's also not Greeks just because they were born in Greece. These are seekers of wisdom and knowledge, culturally called Greeks, but they're not seeking God's wisdom and knowledge. They're not in the synagogues. They didn't get to hear Paul preach the gospel of God and believe it and come out and meet in Paul's meeting to hear the gospel of Christ. Acts 15, verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Again, among the Gentiles is in a small section of the Gentiles, but into the Gentiles, not just Israel anymore. Acts 2, verses 5 to 11 shows that there were Jews among the Gentiles, but as you follow Paul's ministry, he's going to the Jews in the synagogues, and there's listening in there in the synagogues Greeks, Gentiles that wanted to find out about God. They were devout persons, they're called in Acts 17. So let's go on. Acts 15, verse 13. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first, remember that phrase, how God at the first did visit Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Now, you know, I used to think, I didn't study enough, I didn't compare scripture with scripture. I used to think that's talking about when God called the son of Terah, called him out from Ur of the Chaldees to a land that he would show him, Abram at the time. Listen to what it says. Peter hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. So it seems like it fits Abraham. Except, Simeon hadn't declared anything about Abraham. He's only talked about Cornelius. So, Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles. That's that vision that the Lord gave Peter about the sheet coming down and the unclean animals in it, and the Lord telling him to eat three times, you know, and what the Lord hath cleansed, don't call unclean. So that's talking about Cornelius in there. It's not talking about all, you know, about Abram and all those the Jews. Acts 15:15, and to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written. And here James quotes Amos 9:11 through, well, he goes on 11 and 12 mainly, about the future kingdom out of heaven coming to Israel. After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle. So he's talking about Israel's program. He's not saying that the Lord is coming now or that he came when Peter saw the vision or anything. He's just quoting the scripture about a future kingdom coming. After this I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. So that, well, or that, verse 17, that the residue of men might seek the Lord. To me, that residue of men, in my understanding, it means those left on earth after the catching up of the body of Christ. The residue, the remainder of the men, those that are there still. So he says that the residue of men might seek the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called. They have to believe before they can call on the Lord. So, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. So, look at this scripture confirming that those Gentiles seeking God through Israel's covenants and doctrine, that's what he's talking about. It's not all Gentiles. It's not Gentiles coming to God, or maybe I shouldn't use that term, coming to God, but seeking favor with God through Paul's gospel. Look at Romans 15, verse 10. Romans 15, 10. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles. That's not us. It's talking about Gentiles with God's people, Israel. People that come that are coming to God in Israel's program, using Israel's doctrine and covenants. So, and he goes on, let me just read the last two verses and we'll close. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. Not to Israel, but to God. Turned to God. In other words, that fits what Paul is doing. The gospel of Christ, the body of Christ. James is saying we're different. He's saying we're not going to bother you. You don't. There's different authorities there, different apostleships, and James is admitting it. And he says, let's not trouble them. Remember this at the beginning of Acts 15, the same chapter, it was talking about people coming to Antioch to these. People that had these Gentiles that had believed, and telling them they had to be circumcised. You can't just be Gentiles without circumcision. You had to come into Israel's program to be saved. Well, you know, through Cornelius and through James and Peter's statements, you can see that they believe they're different groups now. They're not the same group. The body of Christ is in existence by then. It is in existence by them. So, of course, I believe that it began in Acts 9 with the salvation of Paul. But it's not mentioned by name yet. There is an early mention of it, and I don't... Not by name, though, but I can't remember where it is right now. We'll try and get that later. All right, done with the lesson. If there are questions, comments...